Hello, everyone. This is Steve Baker, sometimes known as the pragmatic constitutionalist around these interwebs. Those of you who have followed my writings for any length of time know that I'm not one to go full Alex Jones on any topic, and I'm not going to start now. Though, in the few hours following the announcement of the death of former Sergeant-at-Arms Michael Stinger, the spirit of Alex Jones made several attempts at possession of my soul. That, I must admit, because all the elements seemed to be there. One of the three top congressional officials tasked with the safety and protection of Capitol Hill and its occupants had died the day the House January 6 Select Committee announced a surprise hearing. Early reports said that Stinger had been gunned down crossing the street in front of his apartment and that traffic cameras had captured the murder. Then, one well-known blogger authoritatively announced that Stinger had knowledge of or possession of six congressional computers secured by the Sergeant-at-Arms staff on January 6th with vital information about the goings-on in Ukraine. Then, inexplicably, mainstream media sources were extremely slow to announce the death of Stinger. Like, really, really slow. Even the venerable D.C. newspaper of record, the Washington Post, didn't so much as even tweet out a mention of Stinger's death for more than 36 hours after it was first known. And finally, the pièce de résistance was that little gem Stinger had dropped in a Senate hearing over a year ago, in which he said there needed to be an investigation into the, quote, paid agitators, close quote, on January 6th. Before I get started, just a quick reminder to everyone that our content can be found on the following platforms. First of all, please subscribe to our locals community, and that's at thepragmaticconstitutionalist.locals.com, thepragmaticconstitutionalist.locals.com. We're also on Facebook, Gab, Parler, MeWe, Rumble, and all major podcast platforms as The Pragmatic Constitutionalist. And we're also on Twitter, and the Twitter handle is at TPC4USA. At TPC4USA. The at TPC4USA handle is also how you can find me on the Locals phone apps. Just go to your app store, download the Locals app, and look for at TPC4USA. Locals is the best place to follow us. Not only does all content first begin there, but more importantly, because we're completely uncensored or shadow banned on Locals. Unlike on Facebook and Twitter, where you might actually like, subscribe, or follow, and then rarely or ever see anything from us. And there's always additional exclusive content on Locals shared nowhere else on the web, not even on our own website. One more thing before I begin. I mistakenly mistitled the headline of my article associated with this particular podcast when first published. Even my editor missed the error. I used the word unperson in the text of the article, which is correct, but then simply had a mental lapse and used the word depersoned in the headline. Depersonalizing or depersonalization of someone is actually, it's actually a disorder involving a persistent or recurring feeling of being detached from one's body or mental processes. That's not what I intended to convey in that article. The actual definition of unperson is a person whose name or existence is denied or ignored, especially because of a political misdemeanor. So, I corrected that error for this podcast title. All right, let's get started. I awoke at 4:15 Tuesday morning and made my usual mistake of checking my phone for messages. The first one I saw was a telegram reporting the death of former Senate Sergeant-at-Arms Michael Stinger. Stinger was on the job on January 6, 2021, when all hell broke loose at the Capitol building. He and his counterpart in the House of Representatives, Sergeant-at-Arms Paul Irving, had each received at least two calls from then-Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sund requesting deployment of the National Guard. Sund was told by the Sergeant-at-Arms pair that they would run the request up the chain. Now, up the chain from Stinger and Irving were none other than Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi. An additional side note, I was actually there and videoed the arrival of both the Army and Air Force National Guard on January 6th, but they did not arrive until after dark when most of the Capitol grounds had already been cleared, and also many hours after the violence had begun earlier that day. Catherine Tully McManus, a congressional reporter for Politico, was the first to actually tweet about Stinger's death at 4:04 p.m. on Monday, the 27th. Former Senate Sergeant-at-Arms Michael Stinger died this morning. He joined the Sergeant-at-Arms team in 2011 after a career with the Secret Service and was appointed Sergeant-at-Arms himself in 2018. Despite her tweet at 4:04 on Monday afternoon, no story had yet been published by Politico. At 7:38 p.m. on Monday, Chad Pergram, the Fox News congressional reporter, began a 9-part tweet thread that began with, "Fox confirms that Michael Stinger, the Senate Sergeant-at-Arms who was in charge of Senate security the day of the Capitol riot, has died." That's it. That thread continued through until sometime later in Tuesday morning at about 11:07 a.m. when he announced, "Fox is told that Stinger had been suffering from cancer." Again, there was no actual story as yet reported by Fox News itself, only those tweets. Later Monday evening, several Twitter users and bloggers began posting various accounts of Stinger's death, rather matter-of-factly giving these shocking details. One such read this way: "Stinger arrived in a friend's car and was dropped off across the street. As Stinger crossed the street toward his apartment, he was shot and killed. The shooting was partially captured on surveillance video from cameras on a nearby building. By the time I began chasing the story at 4:15 on Tuesday morning, the conspiracy was already in full flight, especially spurred on by Stinger's Senate hearing testimony on February 23, 2021, in which he said during his opening prepared remarks, and I quote, 'There is an opportunity to learn lessons from the events of January 6th. Investigations should be considered as to funding and travel of what appears to be professional agitators.'" End of quote. Testimony of professional agitators on January 6th? Then Stinger was shot and killed? That's more than enough gas on the flame for conspiracy theorists, but also fueling those fires were claims that Stinger was slated to testify before the House Select Committee's surprise hearing on Tuesday morning. For the next 8 hours, this developing story became my sole focus as I searched for additional information and hopefully confirmation of these claims from far more reliable sources than their points of origin, as well as from those who were carelessly sharing all of this throughout all of social media. I was also exchanging details and discoveries with other journalists, as all of us were, frankly, confounded by the fact that no major media sources from D.C. were reporting Stinger's death. The Washington Post, WUSA9, which is D.C.'s CBS affiliate, and all the other mainstream news agencies were completely silent. How could it be, when such a key figure in the January 6th event had died, that some 24 hours later, only small-time blogs, Twitter users, and a couple of British newspapers were reporting the death? Newsweek and the New York Post finally posted stories later Tuesday morning, but nothing was forthcoming from the biggies in D.C. itself. As it happens, the Washington Examiner, a smaller 17-year-old conservative news website and weekly magazine, had reported Stinger's passing late on Monday evening. But deep into the day on Tuesday, there was still not yet a peep from the town's 144-year-old newspaper of record, the Washington Post. The first of the conspiracy plot lines to fall apart was the assertion that Stinger had been shot crossing the street to his apartment. In fact, it turns out that he actually lived in an $870,000 home in Falls Church, Virginia, not an apartment. The next revelation was that one of these blogging sleuths, whoever they were, had carelessly or purposefully conflated a 2013 murder of another Michael Stinger in Oakland, California, and had conflated that with the death of the former Senate Sergeant-at-Arms living in Virginia. I tend to believe this was a deliberately misleading action by someone simply wishing to stir the conspiracy pot, because any internet search early on Monday of the words "Michael Stinger shot" would take one to very detailed articles or even criminal case files, which clearly showed that the other Stinger was killed on the other side of the country back in 2013, not the Stinger who died on June 27th, 2022, in Falls Church, Virginia. Not to mention the fact that whoever decided to drop this deception into the internets clearly had cut, copy, and pasted the language from one of those 2013 articles. In fact, the original case file of the 2013 shooting states, and I quote, "As Stinger crossed the street toward his apartment, he was shot and killed. The shooting was partially captured on surveillance video from cameras on a nearby building," end quote. This, of course, is almost identical to the account of the alleged shooting of former Sergeant-at-Arms Michael Stinger in these blog accounts. Seriously, this was no error. This was done on purpose. The second rumor to be quickly and easily dismissed was that Stinger was scheduled to testify at Tuesday's Select Committee hearing, and that's just simply not true either. That committee had already pre-concocted their intended sensationalism with a last-minute surprise announcement on Monday of Tuesday's surprise hearing featuring Cassidy Hutchinson, who is the former aide to Trump White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. Stinger was never on the docket for that hearing. This is another deliberate fabrication. As Tuesday wore on, and as I continued feverishly looking for reality amongst the rumors, still nothing from the Washington Post. At 8:26 a.m., I messaged Joe Hanneman, who is a reporter for the Epoch Times. What I sent to him was this message. "I've been checking WAPO," that's short for the Washington Times, "since 4:30 this morning. Nothing. WUSA, also nothing. Newsweek finally said something at 7:18 a.m. If this happened yesterday morning, how can we not be already hearing from the D.C. media with details of this death?" This Washington Post thing was already seriously gnawing at me when another curiosity also struck me over the head. It struck me after numerous direct searches on the Washington Post's own website's search engine. There were no articles about Michael Stinger coming up on their search engine. None whatsoever. There was only one link to Stinger's name, and that was to an internal PDF copy of Stinger's prepared opening statement for his Senate testimony back in February 23rd of 2021. And I'm going to provide the links to everything that I talk about in the information content below this podcast, wherever you're seeing or listening to this podcast. There were simply no other articles, no posts, or any features of any kind related to January 6th containing Michael Stinger's name on the Washington Post search engine. Not even Stinger's previous moment in the spotlight when, a year before the riotous events of January 6th, Stinger had the ceremonial task of opening the first impeachment trial of President Trump in the Senate chamber. That was when he famously said, "Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons are commanded to keep silent on pain of imprisonment while the House of Representatives is exhibiting to the Senate of the United States articles of impeachment against Donald John Trump, President of the United States." This major event taking place in Washington, D.C., with transcripts in abundance throughout the internet, but no mention from the city's newspaper of record with attributions to Stinger? How can this be? The Washington Post had most certainly published many January 6th related stories about Stinger's role that day. All other major news sites had pages of listed articles coming up in a search of Michael Stinger. This made so little sense to me that I just ultimately fell down that specific rabbit hole for hours. I did Washington Post searches of every possible version and permutation of the words Michael and Stinger and Michael C. Stinger, uppercase, lowercase, everything. Nothing comes up on their website except that one PDF. I did Google searches for every permutation of the four words Washington Post, Michael Stinger, forwards and backwards. And I did manage to find 18 such Washington Post published stories appearing in that search on Google itself. Interestingly, there are also dozens and dozens of articles from the New York Times that come up when you search for Washington Post articles with that name. That's just a curious aside. Back to the Washington Post search engine itself. Still, after multiple searches, I only ever saw the PDF. In my discussions with Joe Kahneman at Epoch, he was just as curious about this double mystery of, first, no word from the Washington Post on Stinger's death, and second, not a single article about him in their own search engine. At 9:20 a.m., Hahnemann messaged me again, and he said, WAPO has lots of coverage of Cassidy Hutchinson, who, as I mentioned, was that very morning testifying before the House Select Committee, but still no word on Stinger. By this time, the conspiratorial nonsense was actually really getting out of hand. George Webb, a Substack writer, posted an article headlined, this is rather sensationalist, and I quote, "Murder on the Senate steps. The Senate Sergeant of Arms is murdered before key January 6th testimony." In that Substack article, Webb claimed that Stinger was going to testify before the Select Committee about six laptops stolen from the Sergeant at Arms on January 6th. I eventually reached out to other D.C. area contacts of mine, and none of them had yet heard anything from their own local media about Stinger's death. I continued to search all major media websites, and still only Newsweek and the New York Post had posted about Stinger's death. I couldn't help but begin to speculate with others that perhaps, in kind of a cynical, joking way, that maybe Pelosi, McConnell, and Schumer had all gotten together and put the word out to the D.C. media to hold the story until they themselves could get their own story straight. I even tweeted a snarky message to that effect. NBC finally went with the story at 1:07 p.m. on Tuesday, adding very little and clearing up nothing. What they stated was, very simply, and I quote, "Stinger's cause of death is not yet known. U.S. Capitol Police declined to comment. The medical examiner in Virginia did not handle his death," a spokesman said, indicating it was not considered suspicious. Then, just over 3 hours later, the real kicker came in. At exactly 4:20 p.m., Joe Hahnemann messaged me again, and this is what he said. "Now there is no search results for Stinger on WAPO." He followed up saying, "Now I'm triggered." By this he meant not even the PDF link was there. So I immediately go back to the Washington Post search engine to corroborate Hahnemann's discovery. Not even the lone PDF of Stinger's Senate testimony was there. It has now been removed from the search results when searching for Michael Stinger. For some inexplicable reason, the newspaper with the motto, "Democracy Dies in Darkness," has now apparently Stalinized the former Senate Sergeant at Arms, and done so right before our very eyes. I immediately reached out to a tech guru friend of mine and asked him to give me any logical or non-nefarious reasons why or how the Washington Post search engine could, first, be totally devoid of any articles mentioning Stinger, save that lone PDF in the morning, and then second, why just a few hours after my initial search, even the PDF link had disappeared. In no uncertain terms, he told me, there is no accident in that link disappearing. Their webmaster had to receive specific instructions to either remove it or hide it. No random or possible tech glitch made that suddenly happen or disappear. It was a purposeful human action. My friend then advised me to go check my own browser's history and see if the link to the PDF still existed. Well, it does. I have it. I've saved it. I'll share it in the information below this podcast. I continued to click on it, and it still works. It just no longer appears if you're looking for it in the Washington Post search engine. It's there, but it's hidden. Sort of, because I can still find it via a Google search. I can still find other Washington Post articles mentioning Stinger via Google, but nothing of Stinger directly from the Washington Post's own search engine. It makes no sense. What are they doing? As Tuesday afternoon turned into evening, more mainstream media outlets began to post obituaries and bios about Stinger. Many of those referenced the sensational conspiracy theories that had sprung up over the past 24 hours. The fact checkers themselves had already gone to work showing how the shooting rumor was in fact fake news. Facebook had already begun penalizing users for posting that false content. Finally, at 8:27 p.m. on Tuesday, a full day and a half after Stinger's death was known to British newspapers, Fox News and Politico reporters, bloggers, and seemingly the entire Twitterverse, the Washington Post finally posted this headline to their website. And I quote, U.S. Senate Sergeant-at-Arms during Capitol riot dies at 71. Links below. Even more confounding, this is not even a Washington Post story that they put on their website. They simply relayed what the Associated Press had put out. Again, nothing new, nothing learned, and most certainly nothing that will put the conspiracy theories to rest. One key takeaway from the Associated Press story that the Washington Post shared is this, and I quote, Stinger died Monday of natural causes, according to two people familiar with the matter. One of the people said he had been diagnosed with cancer and had been ill. The people would not discuss the details of his condition publicly and spoke to the Associated Press on condition of anonymity. Condition of anonymity? Yeah. That'll shut up the conspiracy theorists. Fast forwarding to 5:05 Thursday morning, I'm now operating on only 6.5 hours of sleep since Monday morning. I'd counted 18 articles published by the Washington Post mentioning Stinger on the first 20 pages of a Google search. Yes, I went down 20 pages. I did all of the search parameters again. Washington, Post, Michael, Stinger. Back and forth. Uppercase, lowercase. Dozens of such articles about the New York Times talking about Michael Stinger showed up in that search, but only 18 from the Washington Post. Again, just an interesting aside. And I didn't even include the phrase New York Times in my search. They're just there. At 5:17 a.m., I made one more pass at the Washington Post search engine and customized the date range this time for a specific search of Michael Stinger from the date January 6th, 2021 to Thursday morning, which was June 30th, 2022. The result, and I quote directly from the Washington Post's own search engine, it revealed this. Zero results for Michael Stinger. Not even the Associated Press story about Stinger's death, which the Washington Post posted on Tuesday evening. None of it. Nothing shows up on their own search engine. Paul Irving, the former sergeant-at-arms for the House of Representatives, he shows up in a Washington Post search. Stephen Soon, the chief of the Capitol Police, he's there. Ashley Babbitt, most certainly. Even Ray Epps, yes, he's all over the place. But no Michael C. Stinger. It's as if he had been officially unpersoned by the Washington Post on search engine. But why? Perhaps it's that one unapproved narrative-busting statement he made all the way back on February 23rd, 2021, before the Senate when he said, and I quote, there is an opportunity to learn lessons from the events of January 6th. Investigations should be considered as to funding and travel of what appears to be professional agitators. First Amendment rights should always be considered in conjunction with professional investigations. After Stinger's February 23rd Senate hearing testimony, I can find no evidence that he was ever again asked or required to testify before any such hearing. So, during the wee hours of Thursday morning, I actually read through the entire transcript of that February 23rd, 2021 hearing, the one in which he dropped his paid agitators bombshell in his opening remarks. While Sergeant-at-Arms Irving and Capitol Police Chief Sund were extremely verbose in responding to the senator's questions, Stinger barely speaks at all during the almost four-hour-long questioning. After his prepared opening remarks, he basically goes silent. Even when questions are directed specifically to him, he either ignores them, gives a one-word answer, or just a brief single sentence, while both Irving and Sund carry on with lengthy responses. At one point, Stinger even appears to have completely zoned out when he gets a direct question from Senator Josh Hawley. Senator Hawley, first of all, asked Mr. Sund, he says, were you complicit in this attack on January 6th? Stephen Sund responds, Absolutely not, sir. I've heard those comments as well, and I think it's disrespectful to myself and to the members of the Capitol Police Department. Senator Hawley then addressed Stinger, saying, Mr. Stinger, were you complicit in the attacks on January 6th? Silence. Mr. Stinger? Silence. Were you complicit to the attacks on January 6th? Then Sergeant-at-Arms Paul Irving, apparently speaking to Stinger, said, he's asking you. Then there was something inaudible. The transcriptionist does not record Stinger's answer, nor can it be seen or heard in the video itself. Again, links to both are below. During the entire video, yes, I watched that as well, Stinger appears distant and detached. One might even assume not well. Stinger never again had to face another inquiry about January 6th. No subpoenas, no testimonies, no press interviews, nothing. The February 23rd, 2021 hearing happened, and that was the last we heard of him until news of his death began surfacing on Monday, June 27th, 2022. He seems to have been left completely alone by both congressional and media inquisitions since. I can't help but wonder if he didn't already know he had cancer as early as that February 2021 date, and maybe even knew he wasn't long for this world. As such, he dropped that little paid agitator's nugget on us, knowing no one in the DC establishment wanted to pursue that line of questioning, so it's best to leave him alone. Or maybe the DC establishment knew he was dying and were content to allow nature to take its course. Either way, Michael Stinger probably got his wish, as the press and political inquisitors therefore completely ignored him and that subtle little hint he left. And he was then able to live in peace for the remaining 16 months of his life in the company of just his family and friends. Why do I always seem to be the one who stumbles upon these kind of anomalies and then puts myself through this torture? My obsession over so fine a point as the Washington Post deliberately blocking any and all searches on their own website of a key figure in the January 6th affair may seem trivial to some, maybe even to most, but there must be a reason for the Washington Post to have taken so intentional an action as to delete all searches for and to Michael Stinger. They can't possibly consider deleting those entire stories and purging such an important historical record, because as they say, the internet doesn't forget. But they can, I suppose, begin the process of purging easy access to articles referencing the highest ranking official to declare investigations should be considered as to funding and travel of what appears to be professional agitators. As it is, the Washington Post's competitors haven't yet taken the same actions. Yet. If I can now reflect on those 3 days worth of obsession, and now that I've had some sleep, I don't think we've heard the last of the Michael Stinger story. You know, the Alex Jones QAnon types are just going to add this story to their quiver of Clinton-esque, Vince Foster, Epstein, murder-suicide conspiracies. Even 72 hours after proving unequivocally that Stinger was not shot crossing the street to his apartment while on video, some of these internet people have completely dug in their heels and are adamant he was in fact gunned down in the street because he was scheduled to speak at the House Select hearing on Tuesday, and it's all being covered up. The more likely reality is that on Monday morning, when the surprise J6 hearing was announced for Tuesday, Michael Stinger was probably receiving last rites from his priest, with his wife and two children gathered around his bed. But given the immediate explosion of conspiracy theories claiming, not conjecturing, claiming that he'd been shot in the streets, that he had possession of 6 stolen sergeant-at-arms laptops, and that these laptops all had some connection to Ukraine, one can see why the family spoke through sources only under anonymity, and that the family just might be so inclined to tell everyone in the media to F off. If that's so, I like that response from his family. In fact, it might be actually indicative that Stinger was really one of the good guys, and he had He had trained his family right. Stay away from the DC media scum. They always lie. They always twist the truth. Don't speak to them. Stinger was a former Marine. He spent 35 years in the Secret Service and then finished his career as Sergeant of Arms for the U.S. Senate. Quite a career. Then, basically, he refused to talk very much at all in his final grilling before that very Senate. In that hearing, he really just sat back and let Sergeant-at-Arms Irving and former chief of the Capitol Police, Sund, have their say. Stinger only responding when he absolutely had to. But he gave us that little truth bomb about paid agitators in his opening remarks. At 70 years of age, on the date of that hearing, with over 50 years of untarnished service, on his last day of work, one of the biggest clusterfucks in American history took place. And he couldn't make a decision without approval from Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi. You know, those two who were up the chain who allowed January 6th to happen. At least that's what I believe. And then, on January 7th, he was forced to resign by the very person who refused to allow him to take the necessary actions to prevent the Capitol breach. Yeah, I think he was done. He just said, fuck you very much, and good night. I would ask everyone to please subscribe to our Locals community at thepragmaticconstitutionalist.locals.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Gab, Parler, MeWe, Rumble, and all major podcast platforms. Please like, follow, and subscribe to wherever it is that you're now listening or watching this podcast. Finally, if you can, please consider supporting us on Locals. It's currently only $5 per month. It's the only income-generating source we have, and while it's still free to subscribe as a reader only, your support does, in fact, allow me to spend time falling down these investigative rabbit holes. And you'll also receive additional exclusive supporter-only content there on Locals. Again, this is Steve Baker, the Pragmatic Constitutionalist. Thanks for joining me on this podcast. Take care.